Welcome to Through the Bible with Pastor Michael, a podcast from First Baptist Church in Mustang, Oklahoma. Here's Pastor Michael.
All right, it is May, day 8. We continue our walk through the book of Romans right now, looking today at chapters 12 and 13. And so it's a brief reading today, but so much that is here as we read it. If you're able to, I want to encourage you today to read Romans 12 and 13 two times. It's very quick, only two chapters in an abbreviated reading today. And actually, both of the chapters are quite short. And so if you take a few extra minutes to read them twice, I think that you will be blessed by doing so. What I typically do each day, usually the day before, I read the reading for the next day, highlighting my Bible, making all kinds of notes before doing these daily teaching videos. And when I finished Romans 12, I looked back and noticed I had just almost literally highlighted the entire chapter. It's just 21 verses, and every single verse just contains so much that's worth noting and so much application. Really, each verse is not only teaching us, but carrying with it very clear and obvious and essential application. So maybe with a short reading today, you'll have a few extra minutes to go back and read it again and to think very carefully through it. And I want to also encourage you, because there's not only great application here, there's a lot of conviction here. There's a lot of issues that you're going to read in Romans 12 and 13, where if you read carefully and prayerfully, my guess would be all of us would read these verses and think, ouch, that really gets me, that convicts me. There's something here, I'm quite certain for all of us, that we need to confess and repent and ask the Lord for strength and help to obey His Word in a faithful way. So take time to do that today as you read Romans 12 and 13. Number one, five observations. Christians are to be a living sacrifice to God. We don't sacrifice animals today, yet our lives are to be lived out as a continual act of sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord doesn't ask us today to offer the blood of animals, and we don't have the role of a priest doing that kind of work anymore, obviously. But our lives are to be lived out as a continual act of worship, as a continual expression of a living sacrifice to God. And then a second thing to notice is that the mind is the main battlefield. Romans 12, very familiar words, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. So don't act like the world, don't live like the world, don't be like the world. Well, how would we do that? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The way to not live like the world starts by thinking differently. And so the battle to be a faithful soldier, the battle to be obedient and to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord is a battle waged in the mind. Number three, each Christian has a unique and essential role to play in the body of Christ. We see this in verse 6 of chapter 12, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And so the Lord gives us in the church all different gifts. We have unique people with unique gifts. All are essential. The local church needs every member to be faithful, to be engaged, to be committed, to be in worship, to use their spiritual gifts, to glorify Christ, to strengthen the body of Christ. And too many times believers look at somebody else's giftedness and either become envious or wrongly determine that our gifts aren't essential. Maybe somebody else's gifts are more public. Maybe somebody else's gifts are affirmed more. Maybe somebody else's gifts seem to be more essential. But the teaching of the New Testament is that the church needs everybody. Everybody's gifts are essential. every person, their experiences, their giftedness, their knowledge, all of it is unique to them, but a part of making that local church all that it can be to the glory of God. And so remember, your giftedness is unique and essential. And so if you attend a church, but you're not serving in that church, the church is missing out. The church is not as strong as it could be or should be if you're not serving. If you aren't attending a local church, you're not using your gifts in the body of Christ the way you are designed to do. And don't think that because your gifts in your mind are small, that that means they are inconsequential. That's never true. Every believer is uniquely designed by God, given gifts by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of glorifying Christ and strengthening the body. And you don't want to sit that out. That's what you're designed to do as a believer. A fourth observation, the role of government is to protect the law-abiding citizens and to punish the evildoers. We see that in chapter 13. The one who is faithful and obedient, honest, that citizen should not be afraid. But the one who is not obeying the law should be, because as the Bible says in Romans 13, the government does not bear the sword for nothing. They don't bear the sword in vain, meaning those who disobey the law and those who are a threat to a society ought to have the threat of punishment and the fear of punishment. The problem is when a government flips upside down and starts going after the law-abiding citizens and protecting the evildoers, now that society is in significant danger. The way a government should work is that they are protecting those who are doing right, and they are dealing with those who are doing wrong. And that sword, that act, that weapon is not just an idle threat. It's for a purpose. Now, if you're obeying the law and you're doing what's right, you should have no reason to fear. And that's the role of government as set up and established by the Lord. And then a fifth observation is that we are to take sin and temptation seriously. I'm looking here at chapter 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That leads to five applications. Number one, think carefully about what you allow to influence your mind. You ought to think carefully about the TV shows you watch, the podcasts you listen to, the music that you listen to, the things you bring into your home. We want to remember that if the mind is the battlefield, then we've got to pay careful attention to what we allow into our mind. And far too often, we're a bit reckless and careless with that. And so I encourage you to think carefully about what you allow in to influence your mind, what you allow into your home through television, through your phone, through a computer, through a radio. Think carefully about what you're allowing access to your heart and to your mind. Number two, practice humility. Practice humility. I think that's important for us to do. Verse 3 of chapter 12, that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. We're to practice humility. It tells us in verse 10, outdo one another in showing honor. The reality of it is, the more you can bless someone else, the less limelight you demand to be on you, but instead you serve and bless another. That is the road to true fulfillment. Unfortunately, even in the church sometimes, we live in a day where people want to be recognized, want to be honored, want to be the center of attention. And that's a danger, because we were made to serve each other and we were made to help other people be strengthened. And so what we want to do is use our gifts how the Lord's gifted us. Some gifts are very public. Some gifts lead to people being known. That's okay. That's God's design. Other gifts are behind the scenes and very few people know them. That's okay. That's God's design. Just make sure that particularly for those of us whose roles in ministry have us in front of people and maybe a little more known or recognized, we've got to make sure that everything we do is being done for the glory of Christ and for the good of people, not for the sake of our name, but the sake of His name. And so we don't want to think too highly of ourselves. Our ministry, whatever that may be, is not ultimately about us. It's about Christ. It's about strengthening the church, the body of Christ. And so we want to be careful to practice humility. Look for ways to bless somebody else. Send a note, send a card of encouragement to somebody else. Give a gift to somebody else, not because you want or expect something in return, but just to honor them and to bless them, to outdo each other in showing honor, verse 10 says. And then a third application, practice hospitality. It tells us in verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Seek to be kind to people, to be inviting and welcoming to people. Seek to find ways to bless and honor and be hospitable to those you know, but also find ways to be kind and hospitable to those you don't know. We're not talking about doing things to get something back. We're not talking about doing something to be recognized. We're just talking about using your gifts, your resources, your home, whatever you have. How can we use this to bless somebody else? How can we use what God's entrusted to us to be a blessing to somebody else and seek to practice biblical hospitality? Fourth, we are to find ways to rejoice in the blessings of others. So verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now in our application, I specifically am saying find ways to rejoice in the blessings of others, because it's long been my experience that in the church, most Christians are really good at weeping with those who weep. Most Christians do well if somebody that you know has lost a loved one, we rally around them to love them and to serve them and to help them. If someone in the church has lost a job, the church generally does a great job of rallying around them and helping them. If someone's had a surgery, the church usually does a good job of visiting in the hospital and taking meals to them, going to mow their yard and clean their house, whatever it may be. It seems believers typically do quite well at weeping with those who weep, at having compassion and sympathy with the one who is grieving. What seems to be much harder for people is to rejoice with those who rejoice. Because when someone else is weeping and hurting and grieving, we tend to want to go and lighten that load. But on the other side of that, when someone else has been blessed, if we're not careful, our tendency can be, how come they got that and I didn't? And instead of being happy to rejoice with them, sometimes we can become very, very jealous and very envious. And so I want to encourage you today to find ways to rejoice in the blessings of others. Learn to find your joy in celebrating the good things that God has done in somebody else's life. Somebody else gets a certain honor, rejoice with them. Somebody else gets recognized, rejoice with them. When somebody else has a ministry that's being blessed, thank the Lord for them and with them and give them honor and rejoice with them. It seems to be the much harder part to practice in chapter 12, verse 15. So let's find ways to rejoice with those who rejoice. And then fifthly, strive for peace in all relationships. It's not always possible. It takes two people to have a peaceful relationship, and sometimes a person's just not willing to do that. That's true. But as much as depends on you, Romans 12 says, verse 18, if possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Not everything depends on you, but as much as depends on you, live in peace. There could be somebody else in a relationship that refuses to live in peace and to have a harmonious relationship. That's true. But as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. And then finally, a summary from Proverbs 22, 1 to 16. Train children, discipline them faithfully, and teach them to seek the things of God. If the Lord has blessed you with children, you've got children still in the home, let Proverbs 22 be a guide for you today. Train them, discipline them faithfully, and then teach them to seek the things of God. So today, Romans 12 and 13, the first half of Proverbs 22, the reading is short. If you've got a chance, read it twice. You'll be blessed as you do so. As always, read prayerfully, read carefully, spend time confessing sin, spend time thanking the Lord, and I pray that at the end of our reading today, we'll have fresh reasons to desire to seek His Word and to obey what He has called us to do.